This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Care and Feeding After Dark, where we remember that our spouses and co-parents were, a long time ago, that really exciting first date. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 7, and spouse to Jeff, who's 42. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
Hey, I'm Lucy Lopez. I host the Mamacita Rica podcast. I am mother to Amelia, who's 13, Avery, who is 11, and I'm married to Gino, and we've been together for 11 years. You do the math. And we live in Miami, Florida.
I'm Zach Rosen. I host another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show. I'm dad to Noah, who's 6, Ami, who's 3, and husband to Shira, who is well into her 30s, just like me. We've been together for, oh my gosh, 18 years this year. We live in Detroit.
Wow, 18 years. So I'm at 15. So we are all like married.
Yeah.
Partnered.
Long haulers.
Well, that's the perfect segue because Valentine's Day has come and gone, but we're not done talking about grown-up relationships. It can be hard to parent and handle the normal couple stuff that comes up in long-term relationships. So today, we're talking about our marriages, how we navigate tricky issues with our spouses, how our relationships have changed, and how you merge two parents into one parenting unit. Then we'll wrap up with a special round of the newlywed game to test whether we and our spouses are on the same wavelength. Not gonna lie, I'm a little bit nervous. Let's get started. We're gonna take a quick break and then we'll see you back here with our couple questions. All right, we're back, and instead of tackling listener questions this week, we're gonna do something a little different. Each of us have brought a problem of our own for the other hosts to help. And we've roped in our partners. So to kick it off, Jeff and I will go first. So here's what we recorded for you guys to solve. Okay, Jeff is here with me for our Care and Feeding After Dark. That's what we're calling this.
Hello, listeners. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so here's the deal. Jeff has been traveling a lot for work, which means that we have kind of two different morning routines that happen. So I will have 4 or 5 days where I run my morning routine, and then like Jeff's home and he runs the morning routine.
And I'll tell you, my morning routine is so much fun. The kids love it.
It is fun. The fundamental problem is by the time I get downstairs in the morning, which is maybe with like 30 minutes to go to get out the door.
Right.
You guys are not close to being ready to go.
Well, it depends. Some mornings we've got a board game out, some days we'll do a puzzle, or we might be baking something that morning. So these are all fun activities for the kids to do before school, and they're things I value.
But then when I get downstairs, you say, okay, I'm going to shower. So yeah. I feel like the work is still mine. Like, it's my job to get everyone out the door. And then at this point, I now feel incredibly panicked to get what I see as an hour's worth of things done.
So if I'm up at 5 and I've packed lunches and I've made crepes or waffles for the children and we're playing a game by 7:30 and we need to get out the door to school at 8 and you wander or saunter down at 7:30, I'm just asking for your help at that point because I've nailed it the last 3 hours.
I mean, but when you're not here, I run like a, I would say like fascist-like efficiency kind of morning.
Yeah, military precision. It's admirable. Like, I see your results.
Like
I'm impressed.
I call out the time and there are times like I'm constantly asking like, Alexa, what time is it? Alexa, what time is it? And then she's calling out the time. And as we hit different times, we hit different places.
Everything Elizabeth just said was accurate. That is exactly what happens in the morning. They've not brushed their hair. They've not brushed their teeth. They're not in their school uniform. Their lunches are not in their book bags. Their water bottles aren't full.
But they are happier. Like when I run the morning, they're not very particularly happy.
So what's the purpose of childhood then? I'll take being late to school once in a while if our children are happy.
You would let us be late to school? This is crazy. All right, weigh in.
Great. First of all, are you kids waking up at 5 in the morning?
No, we don't have to be. We have to be out the door by 8.
Oh, I thought I heard him say that there's 3 hours of.
Oh, he gets up at 5. He gets up at 5 or before and goes running. And then when he gets back, the kids are getting up.
Okay. And how often is he doing the mornings? Like how often is he gone on work?
I mean, now he's gone again now. I mean, so I would say it's kind of like he's gone 10 days, home 10 days, gone 10 days, home 10 okay. days.
Making crepes and pancakes in the morning. That sounds amazing. Like I want to be in your house. I want to wake up in the morning in your casa. I just can see how that could be incredibly infuriating, especially if you're the person who's like, Alexa, what time is it? This, that. Yeah. And I get that. Mm-hmm. So is there a way that on the 10 days that he's home, you could join in on Fun Dad in the morning? Like, can you be part of the fun?
Yeah, I mean, I can get up and come down, but then it feels like I'm doing the work while they're having the fun. I'm more relaxed doing the work, right?
What do you mean doing the work? Like, are you cleaning up after everyone, getting everybody's uniform on?
Yeah, like I'm the one being like, hey, there's 10 minutes to go and nobody's in their uniform. Right. Like we need teeth brush. We need book bags. And I am a big advocate that like, I'm not going to do that for the kids. Like we prep our bags the night before, things like that. And I supervise lunch making. But when he's not here, like the kids pack their own lunches because I'm like, they come downstairs. I'm helping with breakfast. I do breakfast dishes. But they're, you know, part of the process. When dad's there, it's like sit at the counter, place your order. Sure, you want to get out a board game and leave it out on the table? No problem. There's a woman who lives here that cleans that up. Like, you know,
damn.
Like when they leave, because he does, when he's here, he drives them to school, which is nice. Of course, when I am here, I have to drive them. Because they're not taking the train to school. They're only taking it at home because it's so freaking crowded in the morning. But, it just feels like the workload feels like twice because it's compressed. And I don't know how to get him like on board. So I guess, yes, like one solution is I just come down in the morning and he's Fun Dad and I'm still just like keeping things on track.
Or why don't you share like one day he's Fun Dad and the next day you guys do things the way you run them?
Yeah, I'm also just like, what would it take for him to remain Fun Dad while also like asking them to go brush their teeth and get dressed? Like he's putting in a lot of energy to be Fun Dad. How much extra energy would it take for him just to think logistically a little bit more? Have you asked him to do these other things?
Yes. Yes.
And he's,
has it always been calm? No.
What would you say your question is here? Is it, how do I get Jeff to,
yeah, like, how do we get mornings? And I do think maybe Lucy's right. Like, maybe the answer might be somewhere in the middle, right? Like, maybe when he's here, I can't really have the morning off. Because I think that's my desire is, like, just if I didn't have to do the chaos that is the morning. But that's not happening. I just have compressed my chaos time. So, like, I have to be the one that gets up, too, and goes downstairs, even when he's here.
Or you can ask him to do all of it. When he's there, if you feel like that's fair, which I think you have an argument that is fair, that he does it all in the morning because you're doing it all in the afternoon and every day that he's gone, which is half the time.
Yeah, and all the things when he's gone.
So if it is important to you, if it is like, if that would make improve your life, and you think it's viable for him to be, you know, Admiral and Fun Dad at the same time, then like I think it's incumbent upon you to say it.
Maybe switch off, like, hey, tomorrow, don't pull out the games. Just do the fun breakfast and let's get the ball moving. So you're not taking away the experience from him or altering what he's already doing so beautifully for the kids and, you know, your family. And just be like, I love that you do all this. This is awesome. I know why you're doing all this. But instead of, you know, ordering the sundae with sprinkles, gummy worms, chocolate chips, extra fudge, and a cherry, can we leave the fudge off and just compromise? Because and I tell him, because when we add on all this extra stuff, I'm stressed out because the clock is ticking.
I think that and your kids, like you've said, they are old enough for Jeff and you not to need to tell them to do all this stuff. Like, if they want to have fun, great, but it's incumbent upon them to, you know, make their lunch, brush their teeth, get dressed. So I think they need to be held accountable too.
Okay. when he gets back from this trip, we're going to, I'm going to say, Zach and Lucy have spoken.
This is what I have to say.
And Lucy, you pointed out, like, I need to acknowledge that I understand why he's doing this. Like, he's not doing this to annoy me. We're on the same team.
Right.
Of course.
He's doing this to build his relationship with the kids, which is something that I want. Okay. Very helpful. All right. Lucy?
I know I'm next, and I'm freaking out. Just want to preface with
that. You were prepped. Okay, let's hear what you and Gino have to say.
So I guess our couple's problem is that we're a bit codependent of each other. Is that how you say it?
Codependent, yeah. And that's just the best we could come up with because we're pretty awesome.
We're so great. And this problem surfaced this year. But you feel differently. You how long do you think we've been like incredibly codependent of each other?
Well, going back to before pandemic, right? You had certainly your lifestyle was you were in it at the studio before I woke up. I woke up, felt like a single dad, had the girls, hair to brush all on my own and all that. And then pandemic hit, so you're doing your show from home.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden now we're like not just partners married, now it almost feels like we're a little bit of a on the coworker vibe.
Right. I can actually hear you in your meetings and I help brainstorm ideas where I can because, you know, I love that too. But it's more like I'm in your daily work life.
All the time. You're in my business every friggin' day and it's insane. And I'm in your business every friggin' day. And we're like working under the same roof, different industries. And I feel like we just need to learn how to separate work and us a little bit. Not too much. You see? I'm codependent.
That's the solution.
I don't know if that's the solution.
I don't know either. I mean, I'm certainly invested in your work. Like, what's going on with this project coming
up? Right. And that's always beautiful to have in a partner, but I feel that we're just a little too much in each other's biz. Do you feel the same way, or am I here talking?
Well, I mean, I'm in sales. That's not as exciting as what you do. So I don't think you're too invested in what I'm doing other than the paycheck.
So I guess our problem is, how do we remedy that?
You two sound adorable, Lucy, first of all.
Yeah, first of all, this is so cute. What is the codependency taking away from the relationship?
I'm so happy you brought that up, Elizabeth. I think it's like the element of like surprise, like the yearning, the I miss him. Wow, I wonder what he had for lunch today. Or him like... This sounds so cheese, but like him having lunch and like, oh, look what I'm having this sandwich for lunch and like sending me a selfie or with the sandwich and me like replying back like, oh, that looks great. And I just feel that there's that element of like not knowing what the other person is up to is not good for our personalities. It's good sometimes, but then I kind of want a little bit of mysteriousness, like just a little bit,
right? So you guys are just like fully entrenched in every last thing.
And I know it sounds like I'll even shake my head like how annoying it sounds because I hear it's annoying, but like he's my best friend.
Yeah,
but I know that it could be a little unhealthy, and it's not like I'm psychotically obsessed with him. It's more like I want to know what he thinks. I want to know all that, you know, everything that, you know, I want to know what he thinks. I want to know his ideas. I want to know what he thinks about my ideas. And I've never, ever, ever had that in a relationship. And I'm cool with being that when it comes to the kids. But I just feel that there needs to be a little bit of like, this is your space and this is mine.
Do you think it's that you don't get to choose which work things you bring to him, like in that sense, or which...
Oh, that's such a great point. Yeah, I think so. I think before, in the past, when he, like he mentioned, you know, he was literally living like a single dad kind of life. I would only come to him when something was already signed, sealed, and delivered. You know, if I had a big interview, let's say this afternoon, chances are I wouldn't tell him until 10 minutes before the interview. Now, yeah. Because I don't have everyday coworkers, I'm like, so I'm kind of working on this idea, and I'm thinking, and those are kind of ideas that you share with a coworker and with someone that you could be like, all right, see you tomorrow. And I don't have the, all right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I get that. Cause I think there are also, like, I feel like we have friends that would say Jeff and I are codependent because we call, text each other constantly about things. Mm-hmm. But I completely see the difference between making the choice to be like, hey, I have this, what do you think? And him being like, hey, I heard you on that call. Not that he's like creeping, but just like, hey, are you kind of working something out over lunch or like you said with a coworker, but like you kind of want to leave. You maybe don't want to talk about that at dinner.
No, I don't. I don't want to talk about it.
But now it's like come into the house.
Yes. Like last night we were watching The Bachelor. Don't judge. Don't you dare judge me. And I'm watching The Bachelor, and in the middle of watching The Bachelor, he goes, hey, did you ever hear back from so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And it was such a buzzkill because I'm so invested in seeing who Joey's going to pick. And I'm like, what? Like, I even made a face and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up, you know, and I go, no, it's just because why are you bringing in that up? And then I kind of get like angry about it, but I don't realize that I'm getting angry or annoyed. Like, it's all over my face.
I mean, I actually say, like, I'm just that part of my brain is exhausted. Like, I want to be wife and mom now.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty clear boundary that you can articulate, especially couching it with, like, Gino, I know you're asking me because you are so invested in my life and my story, and I really appreciate it. And can we just do this thing where we talk about my work when I initiate it? It's a really clean ask, I think.
That's a great, yeah. Why is it that we just don't come up with these solutions at the moment? I tend to wear it emotionally on my face. And like, he asked me last night in the middle of The Bachelor, and I was just like, what? What are you doing? It was like he ruined the moment for me. And I let him know that. I'm like, I feel like you're ruining it. And he goes, I'm sorry. I mean, sorry, I can't talk to you about work. I was like, no, it's not that. It's just like, I feel like we're all together like all the time. And then he was like, there's that problem that we're going to share with a million people that listen to Care and Feeding.
Frankly, it's a good problem to have. Like, a lot of couples would be so lucky for this to be their problem.
It's true.
Aw, thank you.
All right, Zach, you and Shira are up next.
Yeah, so just a quick little bit of context. This was recorded right after the incident that we'll describe here, and I think it kind of speaks to a bigger issue. Well, let's listen.
I love that you got this in the moment. Okay, I'm excited.
So I think by giving him that laughing cow cheese, now he knows, oh, right before bed, he can get whatever he wants if he cries for it.
I think he really was hungry. He went right to bed. Yeah, I disagree. I don't think I need to stand my ground there. It's a really simple thing to give him. Like, I'm not giving him candy. I'm giving him just, like, some protein, and he goes to bed right away.
Because our disagreement is that I try to stand my ground, but you don't think it's consistent, right?
And I just think you're standing your ground in the wrong place.
You think we should just give him what he wants right before bed? I mean, tonight, you're right. He went right down.
I'm learning that, like, there's this thing when it's like he always, whatever, he wants this one thing. And if we stand our ground there, it escalates.
Uh-huh.
And it's like there's a really easy way to not let it escalate. Give him a piece of cheese.
But then there's other times, like, when he wants TV, that's when we do stand our ground.
What has he been doing? He hasn't been doing that recently.
No, it's true.
Yeah, he's evolving.
He's evolving. He's growing up.
Yeah. He's been shutting off the TV right when we say.
It's been great. He did really good tonight. Yeah.
So to me, this is like listening to him. He's saying, this is what I want. And he has now been showing a pattern that when we give him this one piece of food that he wants, that's not even candy, he listens. He went straight to bed. I have learned that that's how to not escalate things.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a reasonable request.
So as part of the bedtime fight, which longtime listeners, not even longtime listeners, if you've been listening for this is like recent, right? or it's always been? Like, how long has the Ami bedtime thing been going
on? It's recent. I mean, and it's gotten better, like Shira said. But there are instances in which, like we described there, like Noah goes to bed easily now. And they're sharing a room. And we're just like, lay down, Ami. And he just like refuses to lay down. He just like stands up. And he's like, I'm hungry. And I take that as like, you know, a sign of aggression. Like, I'm not going to bed. I'm going to think of anything to do to not go to bed. I'm just trying to delay. And that's kind of my read on it. And when I'm like, no, we're not eating. Like, you had dinner. It's time for bed. That escalates it, like Shira, I think, correctly said. And she's just noticing, like, oh, if I just give him what he wants, then he'll go to bed.
Then he goes to bed.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, is that, like, are we teaching him that, like, he just needs to cry and whine and then he'll get what he wants? That's why what my worry is, you know. But the results are, like Shira said, like, the results are good. Like, he's then going to bed, so maybe he is just hungry. And it's not if you give him us a cookie situation with him, he's not then asking for something else. It's just like,
right.
So as all, I mean, she's typically right, so I think she might be right here.
Well, I have two thoughts. Yeah. One is specific to the food, and mm-hmm. one is specific to the situation. Mm. So with the food, I don't give food before bed because you have to rebrush. Are you rebrushing teeth? I'm very worried about the dental health here. Okay. So for me, the food is a no because we have to brush our teeth before bed, or we're giving something that is, I don't care what you're eating, is going to cause problems down the road. So for this specific thing, I would just before teeth brushing say, Ami, would you like a piece of cheese before we brush our teeth? Because you tend to be hungry just before bed, and let him have the cheese and brush the teeth. So that's my food. So I think on the food, I just, you got to brush your teeth. Okay.
Okay.
That might be my personal issue. We can go into that in some kind of therapy later. I think Shira's right, though, in terms of allowing a reasonable request. And I think I've mentioned this before, that we use the bedtime pass situation where they basically got two requests. And then after that, it was a solid no.
What are some other requests?
And those other two than requests snacks? Could be anything. Water, an extra snuggle, uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, needing to leave the room okay. for something.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I think you could end the like food thing by just being like, hey, you get a little choice of a snack. We've noticed you're hungry just before bed, so that it's not a reason for him to stay up and you can brush those teeth. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Mm-hmm.
First of all, Shira sounds like a wonderful human being and the smartest ever. Because a few weeks ago, I believe Ami was the same child who was only eating crackers at one time.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
now we've stepped it up to cheese. And
no, he was always eating cheese too. But, okay. but point so, taken, well, point taken. I appreciate
either way,
the
you could be like, no cheese, but you can try this new food.
I mean, I could see your wife maybe doing the like, well, you can have cheese or you can have a cookie tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Uh-huh. But I do feel that I'm really proud that you guys are choosing a protein, because it's like, I have like articles on this, because we have an 11-year-old who every night there's something up. I can't fall asleep. And I've bribed her into having a, which, not bribe, I don't want to say bribe, but here's a teaspoonful of peanut butter, and it knocks her out. Yeah, knocks her completely out. But she has to do it. She has to ask for it before she brushes her teeth, before she goes to bed. And that's kind of like the road that we took on that. I don't think Ami is manipulating you guys so he can wake up and have a piece of cheese every night. And if he is, you're lucky that he really knows what he wants and he knows what time he can get things done. But I don't know. Like, I think the whole idea of giving him what he wants, I don't think it's necessarily giving up at all. Like, not even a little bit. And what I mean by giving up is like giving up power. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think you guys are giving up power at all.
Okay.
I think Shira is acknowledging something that could be real. You know, does Ami run around the house after dinner? Is he super active after dinner and right before he goes to bed? He could be burning those calories. He could have a high metabolism and he's like genuinely hungry.
Well, listeners, see, even we are just full of problems. But if you've had problems like ours, we hope this might have helped. And if you have your own problem or different issues, great news, you can get in touch. We'd really love to hear from you. And of course, we'll give you our thoughts. You can email us at KarenFeedingPod@slate.com. Leave a comment on the Slate Parenting Facebook page. Or if you really want to make us happy, tell us your story by leaving us a voicemail. Wasn't it nice to hear from our spouses? That's how much we love hearing from you. So you can give us a call at 646-357-9318. All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back in a second. We're back. Instead of triumphs and fails this week, we are going to play a round of the newlywed game. If you're not familiar, it's a popular icebreaker game where we'll guess how our partners answered relationship questions. Mara, our producer, has been in touch with Jeff, Gino, and Shira, and she's already got their answers to the questions we're about to get asked. So let's see how we do.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm really nervous.
Me too. This is so fun. Oh my.
Okay, so first question. Besides diapers and wipes, what does your partner think is the most important item in the diaper bag?
This is a great question.
I mean, I would say snacks.
I would say water bottle.
Oh my gosh. I think my husband must have said something like maybe beer.
So Lucy was actually the closest to getting it right. Gino said flask, also snackies, probably more important snackies.
Incredible.
Jeff said trash bags.
Trash bags. Okay. I should have followed my gut.
And Shira said an extra set of clothes.
Yep. I knew I should have said that.
Makes so much sense.
Okay. Second question. Who said I love you first?
Jeff.
Me.
Gino.
Is it all the men?
No. So Jeff confirmed it was Jeff. Shira confirmed it was Zach. And yeah. Gino said she did, but she'll say that I did.
You better than you know him. That's amazing.
Okay, what is your partner's least favorite parenting task?
Bedtime or dealing with angry children?
I don't know if laundry counts as parenting. If it does count, then certainly laundry.
Okay, this is like what Gino doesn't like to do, right?
Right.
Laundry, hands down.
Jeff said bedtime. Shira said bedtime. And Gino said folding tiny clothes. Bonus round. What does your partner think your least favorite parenting task is?
Bedtime.
I would say Jeff either said morning based on our conversation or he listed some kind of chore, maybe laundry.
Okay. I can't stand taking the kids to school or picking them up, but it's not because of my kids. It's because of the school drop-off line.
Jeff said Elizabeth's least favorite task is cooking. Shira said Zach's least favorite task is getting the kids to eat when they don't want to. And Gino said Lucy's least favorite task is the car pickup line.
I hate it. My gosh. Lucy and Gino.
Yeah, y'all are synced up.
We're so codependent.
Some say codependent. Others say deeply in love.
This was amazing.
That was fun.
That's so fun.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, and thanks to our wonderful partners who were like, sure, we'll play your games this week.
Yeah, we'll be characters in your little show.
They all got on mic. I'm so proud of them. Well, listeners, we've just given you a lot to talk about. If you have thoughts or you decide to ask your own partner these questions, we would love to hear about it. You know how to get in touch. You can email, call us, or come find us on social media. And that's our show. Subscribe, leave a rating and review, and of course, tell your friends. If you want more parenting advice, you can find Karen Feeding, the column, on Slate.com. This episode of Karen Feeding is produced by Maura Curry, with special thanks to Rosemary Belson. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Lucy Lopez and Zach Rosen, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.